Stay tuned after the podcast to listen to Me, My Dad.
The Nerdball Network presents The Interviews with Lorenzo Melcher.
This is The Interviews. I'm Lorenzo. Thanks for joining me today. Today with me, Miller Zackel. Miller, I'm always afraid. I've known you forever, and I'm still afraid I'm going to mess up your last name.
Oh, that's okay. Everyone does.
We've known each other since junior high.
Yep.
You were a sprite little seventh grader that did track.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And I had such track stardom for you, and then you crushed my dreams.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. I always tell athletes that I coach that as long as you're doing something.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Keep yourself active. And you did. You found something that you're active all year round, right?
Yep, that's right.
So you do crew, rowing. What drew you to that originally? Because you never really talked about it.
For sure.
And so what drew you to that?
An email.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So it was the eighth grade summer leading into my freshman year when I was kind of undecided because I had swam for about maybe 9 years. Mm-hmm. And then I tried wrestling, and I have a wrestling family. My dad was a wrestler in high school. My mom was his wrestlerette.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, yeah. And my grandpa, every time he comes over, he talks about wrestling. So I was thinking about even going back to that, giving that a shot. But then my mom was like, hey, there's this sport, it's called rowing, and you're like on a boat on the water. And I'm like, that sounds kind of cool, because like I like the water, you know?
Okay.
So I got this email. I went to the summer camp. I loved it right away because I love being on the water. I like carrying the heavy boats.
Mm.
And that was just kind of it, you know?
Yeah.
I just kind of immersed myself like 100% into that. And I knew I would have to, being so new to it.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of it, because it's so new to everyone that
you aren't far behind.
Right, yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you say you go 100% in it, and I feel like that's how you do everything you do. So even as a junior high student, when you're doing track, you were, you progressed pretty fast, and you always asked questions. You were, you know, one of the last ones there. Even when I wanted to leave, you know, but when you say that, like, I understand that.
Thank you. Yeah.
That how you just won 100%. Cause I was talking to my wife, and right when you showed up, I go, oh, he's here. I'm going to go in the garage. And she's like, he would show up 5 minutes early and be on time, you know, and be ready to go. Cause she's like, I don't know very much about him, but she even said, she goes, who are you interviewing? I go, Miller. She's like, oh, he's the one that rows,
right,
and loves to talk about it. I'm like, yeah. So you're even in our house, you're well known for being excited about it. So you've done it 4 years now,
right?
Is your coach still the same coach?
So our head coach is Coach Ethan Peters. He actually teaches at the junior high this year.
Oh, nice.
He's been doing a fantastic job. Our men's coach is Savannah Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And our novice coach, or entry-level rower coach, is Sam Duncan.
So that coach, he like coaches the newer?
Yes, that's right.
Yep. To rowing.
And we even have, I'm not exactly sure what's happening with our junior high level program, but we have a junior jackets program.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Because a lot of schools, you know, on the East Coast, New York, they have kids starting in seventh grade, and by the time they get to high school, they're the boats that make it to the national championships because they've been rowing so much more than everyone else. So
yeah.
I think that it was awesome when we had, or when we introduced, the junior jackets rowing program, and I just hope that more junior high kids can see it,
mm-hmm,
and can understand what it is to give it a shot like I gave it a shot, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Do you find that it's the younger they are, the quicker their boats are, because they're not grown up, they're lighter?
Sure.
Is that something like, if you start them in junior high when they're freshman and sophomore, they can be really good because they, you know, then they're just smaller people.
Yeah.
Is that part of rowing?
So here's what I say to size. Typically your bigger athletes, they're going to be, I like to think of a rower as kind of like an engine.
Okay.
And a lot of college coaches look for what they call lungs on legs, mm-hmm. because you have to have a very strong cardiovascular system and really big leg muscles, because that's what's going to drive your boat forward and what's going to like dominate the rowing stroke.
All right.
And you have to be able to sustain that over a certain length of meters. So like a 2,000 meter piece in spring races, which is kind of like the sprint.
Okay.
And then all the way out to 5,000 meter pieces, which is over double that in the fall. And those are horrible. They're so long.
I know in track, there's people specialize in sprints or long distance. Mm-hmm. Is that the same thing in rowing, or do you do both?
So rowing is kind of like, it's like that perfect mix of both, because the 2,000 meter piece is, they call it a sprint, but it feels like it goes on forever, because it's like if you're sprinting a mile, you know.
Okay.
So it's falls into that like sort of long distance category, but you are going 100% the entire time. Okay. And then right at the end, you kick it up to 110 and then 120%, and by the time you're finished, you want to collapse like into the water. My friends have it's crazy. It's exhilarating, though. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
So are you in, because I've seen pictures and of you and other rowers at Perrysburg, whether it's single or double or mm-hmm. multiple teams. Do we have all that at Perrysburg, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. So our program, well, right now, actually, with COVID, we're transitioning to more sculling boats.
What is that?
A sculling boat is when you have two oars. Each rower has two oars.
Okay.
And then a sweeping boat is when one rower would be assigned one oar.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. And that oar is typically a lot bigger because they only have one, you know. Okay. So a sculling boat, like a single or even a double, and my specialty boat was the double.
Okay.
With my friend, because he was like, hey, you know, like even my freshman year when I joined, I met him. We were great friends, Nick Cusick. He's like, hey, we should do this double. And so a year later, I presented it to the coaches and they loved it. So we started doing it. We got dead last at our first race. It was horrible.
Well,
but our next race, we kicked it all the way up to second. We would have gotten first. My oar spliced through the water weird. Anyway, but it, you know, it's things like that happen, and those are great growing opportunities. And it kind of just shocked us both because of how much better we did.
Yeah.
Going into that second race, but the third time we just started doing really, really well. You know, like first place, and even my junior year and his senior year, we got head of the Cuyahoga champions, and that's a pretty big regatta.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was shocked because we were placed in like the sweeping boats, because that's what our coaches really like to prioritize, because that's, believe it or not, regattas are actually scored. I don't know how they are, but the big points comes from those big boats, like the men's varsity 8, the men's varsity 4. But our program, that's why we're always constantly looking for more rowers to further develop our efficiency in those boats.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you, so you progressed your first year,
yes,
with your buddy, and have you stayed in a double the whole time?
So when he moved out, there was really no one. So let's see, we started to focus more on the, oh man, that would have put us last spring season, and we didn't have our last spring season.
Yeah.
Everything got moved to virtual, and then that takes us up to this fall, which is when we were all moved to the singles.
Oh, so, okay, okay.
Yeah, so there was really no opportunity to find someone else, mm-hmm. you know. Of course, I always wanted my brother to do that, but he's like, nope.
Is he still doing rowing? Because I know you got him into it.
I did for a short time, but his music is really taking off.
Good.
And it's so exciting to see because he's getting, like, I tease him that he's first chair in Ohio, but he practically is, and it's really cool to see. And
what instrument does he play?
Well, let's see. He plays a double string bass, the bass guitar, the trombone, the piano. He has a flute. I don't know if he's shown the initiative to learn it, but he has one. And he can really play any brass instrument you put in front of him because of his background with the trombone, but it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
that's
so cool.
Cool
to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you don't express any interest in music?
Or well, my baby cousin has a small drum that I like to beat constantly, and my parents love it, you know, but I used to play the trumpet in junior high, and unfortunately, because of scheduling conflicts and largely rowing, I had to stop. But I've always appreciated having that small basis background type in music.
Yeah.
Because it just allows me to really appreciate how much work Sam puts into his music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, yeah.
I know growing up, I really enjoyed playing sports with my brother. He was almost 4 years younger than or older than me.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't match up a lot, but when we played football, like I grew up in Toledo, we played football on the Redskins. And we weren't on the same team, but we were out practicing at the same time. So I always thought that was cool to like be involved with something with my brother.
I
imagine the few years that he did do it, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And it was... That's what I've always kind of wanted, and I'm always, you know, out. We have a garage gym. I like to lift. Like, that's always been my thing, actually. Mm-hmm. That's, like, the biggest consistency I've had in my, like, high school athletic career, because I've been weight training or resistance training since I was 10. But I always try to get Sam out there, and I always try to make him go running with me and just get in any, like, type of session, but...
Just doesn't want to do it, huh?
No, sometimes he does.
So you always go out there by yourself?
Yeah. Most of the times I just go out there by myself. But and a lot of my friends are like, are you just constantly lifting? And I'm like, well, what else am I going to do? Like, what? Why did you get in your lift for the day, you know? Yeah. And that's, I try to train 6 days a week. But if I don't, I don't feel well, you know, in the day. And I have so much energy and... It just feels like natural.
When do you try to do it? Do you do before school or after school?
So I normally place my lifts in my schedule like after school or after all of my after school programs too. So sometimes even after rowing, I'll come home and get a lift in. But now I've really like valued the benefits of waking up early and getting the workouts in because you just start off your day. It's nicer. You have so much more time and it really kind of sets the mood for the day, you know?
What time do you have to get up for that if you want to do it in the morning?
So if I want to lift in the morning, I know I'm a lifeguard at the YMCA and I get a free gym pass.
Oh, nice.
Benefit, yeah. But I normally pull shifts 6 a.m. and... People come in at that time, so normally around there.
Okay. Mm. I pictured you, because I've had someone on here that they stayed up, like before they came on a podcast, they were up to like 4 a.m.
Oh, my
in the podcast. Well, it was at 8:30, and they were a little late, but I pictured you like making sure you get as much sleep as you can.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I don't picture you someone staying up really very often.
Yeah, no, not... I mean, I just crash after a certain point. Like, I was just talking with my friend the other day, and they're like, oh, well, I was up until 4 a.m. the other day. And I'm like, what? How? Is that possible? No, I always make sure to get in, you know, at least like 8-9 hours of sleep. It's just, I mean, it just helps you function. It helps you think, you know.
That's hard. A lot of times when I set my alarm, it says it's going to go off in 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. No, that's horrible. Like, if I know I'm getting 6 hours in of sleep for the next day, I know I got to put maximum effort into the day. But it's, you know, that's another thing that I learned because I like the early shifts at the Y because everyone comes in, they're all positive. You know, I guard a lot of lap swimmers. And sometimes even the Perrysburg High School swim team, which is really cool. But it's just fun to watch so many active people getting their workout in the morning. And but it is hard to sort of compensate my schedule around that, or like move it around, you know, because I'll end up getting like 5-6 hours of sleep. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna do double shot of espresso this morning. Hope no one is in trouble.
I figure that those people that are at the Y in the morning, the early risers, the people excited to be there, the athletic people, those are your people.
Oh, 100%. I love it. I'm like, all right, nice. What are you doing this morning? Like, how many laps? What are you training? And then my favorite is seeing the people up in the weight room. And, you know, even some of my friends and some of my crewmates on the rowing team, they'll be up there training, and then they'll wave down to me, who's bored out of his mind, watching water evaporate. No, I'm teasing.
I would imagine you love that. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a great job, and I love it. And
how long have you been doing it?
So I have been guarding since, let's see, well, the second I turned 16, even before then, I had expressed interest in it. So I went through all my certifications, basic first aid, CPR, oxygen administration, so like the tank.
Oh.
And, you know, I was just teasing my mom the other day. I'm like, nothing ever happened. And
don't jinx yourself. And
no. That's exactly what happened.
Oh, really?
That night, this was like Wednesday, I was up in the weight room. I was benching, and I lean up, and everyone's crowding around this dude. And this just happened. I don't even know if he's okay.
Yeah.
I ran over. I don't want to get graphic or anything, but there's blood.
Oh,
he was not looking good. He was, you know, he was conscious, though, or, well, he was mostly unconscious, but he was still breathing.
Okay.
So he was there, but I like to think that I helped out as much as possible. You know, I checked his pulse, made sure he had an airway to breathe.
Yeah.
But I just was really thankful that I was equipped with some knowledge to assist in that situation. And that's kind of cool, because that's like the career path that I'm looking to go into.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about school and what your plans are. First of all, what do you like? What do you like learning in high school right now?
So actually right now I'm in AP calculus, and if you would have asked me,
I'm gonna get a water. Do you want
to water? Oh yes, please. Yeah. Thank you. If you would have asked me if I would be in AP calculus my freshman year as an Algebra 1 student, I would have laughed, but I really found like the value in self-teaching myself math and, learning the lessons. And there's a lot of discipline that goes into it, and I think that's really cool.
I can't understand that. I did not like math.
Yeah. It's, well, what I liked was my Algebra 2 teacher, Chris Harvey. He was a great guy. He really, I knew that I was going to have to try very hard if I wanted to do well in his class, because my sophomore year, I doubled up in math. I took geometry and Algebra 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... and that was all with the intent to get to AP Calculus my senior year.
Okay.
But he was, he taught his class almost like a college course. You know, he had, let's see, he had you take notes every night. You basically taught yourself the section of the unit before he did. Mm-hmm. And then you would come into class and he would say, all right, like, what are we doing today? Mm-hmm. Like, produce questions for me, you guys. So I'd open up my notebook. I'd be like, all right, number this, this, and that. Please explain it to me. Like, but no, that was great. And
when I was in high school, he was a teacher there. And he was one where if you looked at your schedule and it said Mr. Harvey, you did not want to have him, because, well, especially if you didn't like math.
Right.
But I would imagine the people who love math, like, want him to be your teacher.
Right. You know? And I... That was really cool, though, because him and I would talk about problems like it was the coolest thing ever, you know? Like, it was rocket science, but it's just a basic Algebra 2 function. But, no, I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed doing well in it, I guess. And the first test, you know, I got, like, he always offered a ridiculous amount of bonus points, but no one ever got them, ever. But then I came in, and not only did I get everything right on the test and the bonus, but I did the extra bonus worksheet, so I had like 110% on the first test, and everyone was like, who is this sophomore prodigy? Because it was a junior class. Oh, okay. I was like, all right, I like this. And I knew that I'd just have to continue like self-teaching myself and working like extra hard if I wanted to maintain that spot.
Well, and with Mr. Harvey too, he was a track coach.
Cool.
And I did track in high school. And it was always cool because my senior year, I was really good at shot put. And whenever we go to invitationals, like all the coaches would be up in the stands, and it was really cool to go up there because I'd go up there and it'd be like a bunch of other dads, right?
Yeah.
You're with these coaches all the time, and I'd tell them, and they'd get so excited. You know, Mr. English was a track coach then too. Yeah. So but I always remember just him being excited about like what I threw, and he wasn't even my coach. You know, Mr. Henches was my coach, and so I can imagine like how excited he was for his love of math and for you to do so well, how excited he was for you.
Yeah. And that's what I love too, is when you finally get a teacher that can understand your interest in the subject and like really relate to you in that way. And I just think that's really special.
Yeah. Mm. So I had my sophomore year, I think. I looked at my schedule and it said Harvey.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, this is my second year in Perrysburg. My friends were telling me like, you don't want Harvey. And it was a different Harvey. So when I walked in, it was, it's Miss Okenka now.
Oh, all right.
But I had her.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He told me that whole story. Yeah. Cause she used to be Harvey, or maiden name. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's I like her. She loves to remind me that I'm the reason she doesn't have any more teachers' assistants, male teachers' assistants. I was like, I don't remember that I did anything bad.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
Just bad enough, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. That's funny.
So math is, you like math?
Yeah, love math.
What else? What else?
Science, that is just my jam. You know, biology specifically.
Like, I loved biology.
I loved it. I had Mrs. Maxwell my freshman year with honors bio. And, you know, that class taught me so much more than biology. It was, I guess that was, like, my first really challenging course. Like, it wasn't particularly, the coursework wasn't challenging for me, but the acclimating to the way it was taught, you know, and teaching myself a topic which I didn't know a whole lot about, you know. But that was really cool for me. And then I had biology, AP biology with Mr. English, and that was junior year, but those were very similar, and I just love biology. Mm-hmm. Like, that is, I'm looking at that for my major or nursing.
Okay. Yeah. So ultimately, you still don't know exactly what you want to do? Something medical?
For the most part, I'm looking at probably being a travel nurse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I want to see the world a bit, but also I want to jumpstart my career. And my grandma was a nurse, and that always inspired me. You know, I was like, well, you are the most caring person in the world. Why wouldn't you be a nurse? So I'm like, you know, I think I want to do that too. So, I'm looking at nursing.
Yeah, my mom was a nurse for a long time, and my sister is almost a nurse. She just has to take her test. But she works at a hospital now.
Nice.
And so she's been dealing with having COVID patients and all that.
Oh, okay.
And but she, you know, she's really really likes it. And yeah. You know, and you're right. Like, being a caring person, like, this is something, especially if you like math, science, all that stuff. Like, it plays into.
Oh, absolutely. Wanting to do that.
Has going through this last 9 months of COVID and seeing hospitals and nurses and doctors, has that like. And like made it want you to do it more.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. I see, like, I call it kind of like the front line, and I see all of the health professionals working, and that just really makes me. It inspires me because that's the field right now that really demands the most attention, and they're buckling down and getting stuff done.
And they need. People.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah.
I mean, there was a point last spring, my sister was telling me, where you could, if you weren't a nurse, if you were somewhere in your progression to be a nurse, you could fill out this paper and be a nurse for X amount of months, because they just needed people, you know? And, and it was, I mean, everyone was getting hard hit, and this happening again, the hospitals are getting full, and So they need people.
Right.
Where do you think you want to go to school?
So I am pretty decided on BGSU. I've always wanted to go someplace pretty close to home.
Okay.
I love being close to my family and my stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to come home, do laundry. It's a great school. My mom went there for a little bit. She transferred to UT, but my dad also went to UT. But I have family that goes there, like my cousins, and they love it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great college town. And I'm actually looking at their honors program.
Nice.
I'm excited.
I lived there for 2 years. I went to school for a little bit, but I wasn't ready for school.
Yeah.
So I stopped going, but I lived down there with some buddies, and I worked at Ed Schmidt here in Perrysburg.
Mm-hmm.
I was cleaning the shop and doing, I was a car detailer, but it was me, I had three roommates. One was a math major and the other two were biology majors.
Cool.
And we had this huge whiteboard,
mm-hmm.
and I would walk out of my room and the two biology majors, me and those two went to high school together.
Okay.
So the huge whiteboard, and they're doing like calculations, and there's molecules up there, mm-hmm. and everything. I'm like, come on, guys. You guys just, I just didn't fit in. Like for me, I didn't fit in, but we are all friends and stuff. But it was funny to walk out to see that. But it is a nice town. I lived there for a year with my wife too, when she was finishing up school.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun just to walk around, and there's cool places to eat. We always went to this little diner for breakfast. I always forget what it's called now, but we always went there. But yeah, you're right. It is a cool college town. We still go down there. We love to get campus poly eyes.
So do we.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Are you going to do rowing or anything there?
I have been talking to a number of like schools with a varsity program, and I decided against it for I wanted to stay close to home, and as I get through school, and rowing has been such a great experience for me and has taught me so many things. But going forward, I just want to be sure to really focus on my schoolwork. But that being said, rowing may come to BGSU as a club sport, I've heard.
I was going to ask you if it's a club at all.
They may be developing, and they may actually even move into our boathouse down at the docks.
Oh, really?
Which is really cool. But, I was most interested in BGSU's lifting club.
Mm-hmm.
They have I'm not sure if it's powerlifting or if it's just a weight training club, but I got on their website and I saw the entire list of intramural sports. And of course, you know, judo and grappling. Always wanted to learn martial arts.
So the one thing I wanted to learn is jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And I want my kids to learn that because I think it's a cool self-defense thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Where if you're in control of someone's body and you don't have to like punch them.
Right.
You know, or kick mm-hmm. them or anything. So yeah, that appeals to me too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it has always been a thing for me to learn some sort of martial arts or some sort of fighting sport. And that's what was cool about wrestling actually for mm-hmm. me when I first joined, was the physical aspect of it, you know, and not only just like the hitting and the impact, but the technique that goes into it, you know, and the thought. And that's what my dad always used to tell me was he, you know, found such value in wrestling for not only being physically stronger than someone, but for outsmarting them in a match.
Yeah. Well, was he, and I guess this might be a question for him, because I know my dad never played sports growing up.
Okay.
But for me, like I love football. I love coaching football. I watch it. Mateo watches it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask, like, if he doesn't play football when he gets older, are you going to be like, you know, sad about it? I go, it would suck if he didn't want to play because I love to coach it, you know?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But he's his own person, and I'm not going to, like, make him do things.
Right.
So I don't know if you ever had a talk like that with your dad being a wrestling family, and then you decided not to do it anymore.
Right. When I first started wrestling, he smelled my shoes, and I was like, okay, what are you doing? It's awkward. He's like, oh, that smell. I miss it. Oh, I'm like, reminiscing, oh, okay, yeah. I'm like, all right, can I have my shoes now? Funny. No, he still loves it, and he's such a great guy. He would drill with both my brother and I when we first started to prepare us for this competition, and it was funny because I'd have this 230 some like just big, strong, bulky dad just hammering me down on the mat, and then I would get to practice and I would face kids that were my weight class, like 150.
Yeah.
He was like almost 100 more pounds than me, and I would still learn to take him down in ways, but you know, that really helped me.
Yeah.
That was really cool for me. But yeah, no, he did miss it, and he does. But I think he's more grateful for the chance that he, like, what it did for him.
Yeah.
In a way.
Oh, yeah. Well, all sports, I just talked about that
with
Mrs. Cannon, how all sports treat you or teach you stuff that you wouldn't otherwise know, right?
Right.
Especially, like, defeat and how to come back from that, being aggressive and all kinds of, like, we talked about it with her, but like I said, all kinds of stuff. So it's sports, just being in sports is good, you know.
Yep.
And you're right, just like your dad says, you know, I'm sure he talks about how what it taught him, and this was years ago, and he can still take those lessons.
Yep. Yeah. And he even tells me stories of his practices, and I was like, well, I'll tell you this rowing story, and then I start, and he's like, I don't know any of the terms that you're using or anything, but
They're there, right? I mean, your parents, I like your parents, and the thing I learned about rowing is you guys got to travel quite a bit because there's not a lot happening. There's maybe one race a year in the Maumee that you guys go to.
Yep, that's right.
Everywhere else, you got to go up into Michigan. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that. Tell me about that aspect of rowing.
Let's see. Well, one time I drove 10 hours to a regatta. Well, my friend's mom drove 10 hours to a regatta, and I just sat in the back and I don't even remember what I did for 10 hours, but, that was our farthest regatta that I've ever gone to. That was, head of the Hooch in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That was a great one. That was very cool to see how many, just the sheer size of the, how many teams were there, all of the vendors. It is just such a cool sport because I think more people would express interest in it here in Perrysburg if they could see what things are like on a bigger scale, you know, like when put themselves in our shoes when we're traveling to all these cool places and seeing all of the competition that we see in these just giant rowing towns because that's what they are, you know, that's just the norm for them. But, we end up traveling a lot to Columbus, cause that's where we see competition like Upper Arlington and Westerville. They have very developed teams, you know, cause they're right by the water. They compete with one another. But some of those are like 2-3 hour drives. So not horrible, but my dad does all the driving. So. Yeah.
I would too. I like to drive.
Yeah.
But that's a huge part of just having your family involved.
Oh, yeah. Right? You know? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Rowing, actually, shout out to all the rowing parents because our club and now varsity team would be nothing if it wasn't for them. Like the school gave us some assistance here and there. I mean, by giving us the varsity title, but the parents, they have done everything. And my dad, especially, you know, when I came in freshman year, he was kind of like slowly integrated as head chef. And he would, you know, he would cook for everyone at our regattas. And my mom joined the board. Mm-hmm. And the things that our club president, Danielle Birkin, has done for our team and for all of the rowers is ridiculous. And I'm so appreciative of that too, because like, I think that just speaks volumes as like from a parent's perspective, you know, because when you have your kid join, along with my parents, they just showed great initiative, you know, and they joined and they were like, all right, let's fix up this club basically, you know, let's
make it better.
Promote it. Right, right. Absolutely.
And I think that's the part of it, too, because when you talked about going to Tennessee and seeing these bigger events and everything, I think social media plays in a lot into that.
Oh, yeah.
So if you guys are out there doing these huge things, taking pictures, posting on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, then that's how people see it, especially people here in Perrysburg, the younger kids.
Yep.
And that's what I learned for just talking about football, just being on social media, because that's how everyone interacts.
Yeah.
So if they can see these pictures and see you guys doing well and against these other teams and everything, then that, you know, are you going to get, you know, hundreds of people to come? No, you might get four, though.
Right.
And that's four more you didn't have.
Absolutely. And, you know, our biggest, or probably our biggest recruiting time of the year is actually Frosh Fest. That's what the student council event holds. I'm our senior class president, actually. So
I get to
help out with that quite a bit. And I have for the last four or some years, three and a half. But we had a bunch of incoming Frosh or freshmen come in, and they would, you know, they would walk around the gym to see all the clubs. And of course there was the football. I remember seeing a couple of my buddies work the stand over there, and then there was the rowing stand on the far end, right toward the entrance. So I was like, yes, we got the best spot. We would bring an oar in, and we would have the rowing machine. And we actually, one year I made it like a competition. I had like 100 meter sprints, and then I would put their name and their time.
Oh, nice.
And I would pick kids like coming in and sitting down when they had lunch when we weren't supposed to talk to them. I would go over, I'd be like, so you think you're tough, huh? You want a really, really manly sport? And they're like, yeah. And so I'm like, all right, follow me. Come try this. I'll have you on the floor breathing pretty heavy. I was like, you want to see if you can beat my time? They're like, sure. But we had like 50 some names signed up. Yeah, it was crazy because our club president was like, we have to stop recruiting people. We're too big right now.
Well, that's the point where we are at for football, where, you know, it's a problem. It's a good problem if we have to buy more helmets.
Right.
Right. So it'd be a good problem for you guys if you had to find some way to get more machines or something, right?
Yep. More machines, more boats, more oars. I mean, we've got so many good problems that it's costing so much.
But that's I'm sure where the parents part comes in, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, we this year for football, we had a parent group start the 12th man club, which as far as I remember, we've never had a parent club. Mm-hmm. for the specifically just for football. So that helped us too by, you know, they purchased some things for us that we needed. But that's, you know, that's parents are, I think as the athlete, I think their own parents are a bother to them sometimes, right? Like, oh, you're here, you're cheering so loud, or you're yelling, or this and that. But they're very underappreciated for what they do. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just driving you, and if they don't do anything else, just getting you to the event and watching you, you know, it's fun to see your parents in the stands. I mean, my parents still come to watch me coach, you know, they watch the team and watch me coach. Like it's cool to be able to, when you're done, to go talk to your parents.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know? And that was always something that I made sure to do, you know, whether we were just going for a drive or maybe even just sitting around the house, I'd be like, hey, mom and dad, thank you for letting me do this sport, you know, and for how much time and money goes into it. Like, thank you for letting me do that. But I remember one regatta specifically, you know, like I was never ashamed to like have my parents there. I always wanted them to be in the front stand, just cheering their butts off. But like we finished this race and I was the stroke seat or like the lead that everyone would follow in this boat. And it was a novice race. So that was me when I was an entry-level rower with a bunch of other entry-level rowers. And I just, personally, I don't want this to sound bad, but I did not think we had a chance. You know, it was a throw-together boat last minute. We even had a coxswain as one of our rowers. That's basically like the lightest person on the team to coach us in the boat. But we just didn't have any rowers at the time.
Oh, because
our program was a bit smaller back then.
Yeah.
But you know, we got to the starting line, and halfway through the race, we were behind, you know, as I had expected. But I'm like, you know what, we can make a change here. You know, we can change the tide just by amping up, you know, a little bit of intensity and a little bit of morale. So I was like, screamed mid-race, like, let's go, guys. Like, we can do this. Like, pull it together, clean up the timing, clean up your oars. And we pulled ahead and we got first. And that was crazy because I got out of the boat and I was, you know, soaking wet. And I just saw my dad and I just, like, picked him up and gave him a bear hug. I was like, did you see that? I wish you knew how hard that was to come back from that. Yeah. But, you know, having my parents there was always great for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, they're unappreciated. So thanks to all the parents out there for always supporting everything.
Thank you.
How you talked about, when we mentioned COVID and you talked about virtual races, how did you guys do those?
That is a great question, to which I do not know. No, so I know that our big race at the end of the year, you know, similar to like the NLL championship, is the Midwest championship.
Okay.
And that's where all of the rowers, obviously from this Midwest area, will compete. But we, obviously last year's was canceled due to COVID. So they hosted an online event. And we only had a couple of our rowers participate in that. I was training for a separate event, so I never ended up submitting anything toward that.
Oh, okay.
But we, of the one or two rowers that we had submit their scores, they did actually very well. So they were some of the top placers. And that's always a great thing to see, you know, smaller team, Perrysburg, all the way up there, placing high with the other really developed programs.
Yeah.
But let's see. The virtual races, you know, we...
Is it just using those machines and recording times and submitting times?
To all of you out there that do not know, the ergometer is what we base a lot of our training off of. It is a... there's really only one brand out there, so if you don't have it, you got to get it. It's the Concept 2. And, you know, Model D, Model E, whatever you please. But that's the basis. It's like the international basis that people use all around the world. And my dad got this rower, and I was like, thanks, Dad, that's great, but what am I supposed to do with this? A Concept 2. he's like, oh, dang it. But no, I was just busting with him. But we based a lot of our online scores based off of our erg times.
Okay.
And, you know, I was able to borrow one of our Perrysburg ergs, and I logged, when we went all virtual, I logged maybe over 100,000 meters in the first week.
Wow.
And approximately one stroke is about 10 meters. So that was a lot of strokes.
Yes, it was.
It's a lot of strokes. A lot of energy. But no, actually, the event I was training for was a marathon row. Because I had always wanted to do and complete the marathon. Like, that was the big thing for me. So one morning, I woke up and I was like, all right, today's the day. Like, let's do it. So I put my Perrysburg rowing unisuit on. I taped up my hands. I got my sweatbands on my wrists and my head. And I put my erg up in my room. So crowded in there. That was not smart. But I had my TV propped up, and I did the 47-some-thousand meters. I don't even remember. 42,000, like 195 meters. And that was... took me a little over 3 hours.
But wow. Just continuous rowing?
Continuous rowing. That's right. And, you know, it wasn't my conditioning that killed me, because I was going for like hour-long pieces like in preparation. But it was the butt pain. It was so horrible. I was screaming at the top of my lungs to have my brother continue to bring me towels to put as padding. But, oh, my goodness. And I think that's what a lot of people really don't realize about.
I say you didn't like think about it or read about it.
No, I had pads on there before I started, and I was like, all right, I think these will hold up. Nope, they did not. But that's what a lot of people don't realize about rowing. Like, that's one of, like, the added benefits when you start is, like, this is so uncomfortable. And, but that's just one of the many things that, like, harden you, you know, as an athlete, you know? And I'm sure there are so many things with football that would do that, but with rowing, it's getting used to the uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know? Being in a boat, having sweat, having dirty water flown in your eyes, having, you know, your bloody blistered hands sting at practice and having nothing to bandage them when you're in the middle of it all, you know? And, you know, switch up your grip or having, like, pains on your butt or your shoulder when you're carrying the boat. But that's just all a part of it. And that's what's really cool is... Because once you get done with it, you kind of see the value in it. You're like, wow, I did that, even through how painful that was. And what's fun is being able to talk about that with your other crewmates that
understand.
Totally understand. They're with you.
Yeah. How'd you do in that race? You had to submit times, right?
No,
or is it just something this you
was
wanted just, to do?
This was, yeah, this was a you, like a personal accomplishment.
You would put yourself through hell just because. Yeah. I thought it was like a race you were actually
doing.
Oh,
no. Nope. Not at all. No.
Dang, Miller.
Yeah.
So you could have stopped anytime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I could have slept in to noon. No, dang. I was like, all right, I'm getting up and doing this.
Well, cool. Yeah, that's
my
awesome.
My mom is like, wait, why? And I was like, because I have to. But no, I did that. And that wasn't even, you know, that was almost as hard as the piece that I did following that. I was going for a personal record on my hour-long row.
Okay.
I don't know why an hour struck me as an appropriate time frame to get a, you know, because normally our pieces are anywhere from 6 to 20 minutes, but no, I wanted to do the hour long row. I don't know why, but I was going for like ultra conditioning. But I had done like 5 hour long pieces, and my like sixth or seventh, I was like, all right, this will be like my best one. Mm-hmm. And it was a cloudy day, but I put my erg in my, cause that's what ergs are, mm-hmm. ergometer, in my street. Or my driveway, and I just chugged away for an hour. And when the feeling when you get done, you know, it's like that runner's high.
Yeah.
It's so nice, you know. It really makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, that was not to be submitted anywhere,
except
know.
Except in your brain.
Yeah, that's right. I took pictures. Not that anyone can understand what my erg screen, you know. I posted that on Instagram, and...
And they're like, what kind of video game is this?
That's right. That's right. If I would have posted like a picture of me doing it, everyone would have been like, wow, great job. And then I had people like, wait, what are all these numbers mean? Mm-hmm. I was like, it says right there in the bio, marathon row complete. You don't understand the amount of time and effort that I put into this.
Wow. So you talked about how you were the student.
Student council, senior class president.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you been involved in student government your whole 4 years?
Yep. Yep. And I was freshman year as a representative. Sophomore year, I was our class vice president. And then junior year, I was a executive for the community service committee.
Okay.
Yep. But this year, because I always wanted to be president, but my friend, she was our class president all the way up until this point, and she oversees like the entire thing.
Oh, okay.
But she did such a great job, Quinn Baumgartner. Thank you for all that you've done. But this year I was able to step up and fulfill that position, and
nice.
we were doing all of our voting online, mm-hmm. Over Zoom. And here I am, I put a tie and shirt, I have my adversity speech, overcoming adversity speech that I had written, and I was ready to just go 100% on this speech and do anything to get this position. And she's like, all right, well, you're the only one that ran, so I'm like, of course. And she's like, do you want to read it anyway? And I'm like, of course I do. But no, I... We've been doing great things this year, and I'm excited to see where we go moving forward. Yeah. But you know, a little bit of insight, like currently what we're working on, we our senior class gift, you know, that's under development. I'm not allowed to share that.
Oh, sure,
but
yeah,
I think everyone will think it's pretty cool when we finalize it.
Nice.
Let's see, we've got a t-shirt sale coming up second semester, so keep an eye out. They're the Perrysburg with the coordinates. Have you seen those?
I haven't, no.
Okay. They've got the coordinates on the back with a compass, but it's a pretty generic, like Perrysburg, but it's a cool design, you know.
Cool.
And
right.
It did really well last year, so we're gonna promote that again this year. But yeah, we've had a bunch of things go on this year, but we've had a lot even more not happen,
yeah.
You know, just
yeah.
Cancellations. But you know, we were able to do our Love the 419 annual event, where we go downtown Perrysburg and rake leaves, which lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw that. It was just a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. It was pretty recently. But yeah. We collect canned goods and rake lawns. And it was funny because we weren't even on our normal route, just strolling through the neighborhoods, like trying to find the rest of our group, me and a couple of student council friends. And this guy comes out of his house. He's like, "Hey, are you raking lawns?" We're like, you know, he goes, "How much?" And I'm like, "Oh, should I say $20 or should I say we're doing it for nothing?" I'm like, "Sir, this is absolutely free." He's like, "All right, perfect. Get the sides right along here." And he watched me rake. He was like, "It's like, yep, get up a little closer now." And I was like, "All right." We finished raking his lawn, and he was this very nice older gentleman. He just was making sure that I got every single
yeah.
leaf, and I'm
yeah.
like, "Dude, we were supposed to leave," but no, I.
Well, good.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, and it's always nice to talk with, you know, local Perrysburg residents and just do something nice for them.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, I'm glad that we got to do that event this year. Seeing how so many things are just out of place, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's you strike me as the kind of kid who wants to be in school learning.
Oh, absolutely.
And not on the computer. And you guys are all virtual now.
Yeah, yep.
Right?
We're all virtual.
You were hybrid, but now it's virtual.
Yep,
yeah.
We were hybrid schedule. We go in 2 days a week and then do online learning three. Honestly, last year, you know, it was nice for a week when I could sit in my pajamas and do all of my schoolwork,
yeah.
you know, that I'd normally do at home and get it done in half the amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just, it's more tedious than anything because the communication and the submission of assignments and taking assessments, it's just, none of it's the same,
yeah.
of course, but still, what are you going to do, you know?
You have to.
You
right.
have to, but they're doing, all the Perrysburg teachers are doing such a wonderful job,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, I think that's the important thing to note,
yeah.
you know.
Well, it's different too this time around because it's more of like a class schedule where you got to sit in a class.
Right.
And you get X amount of minutes between each class, and then the next one, you got to sit in for the next one. So it's different than, I think last year was just like, all right, here's all the assignments here on Schoology or whatever, fill it out when you can.
Yeah, yeah. And last year, you know, I even had some, everyone knows this, but I even had some friends that were like, "I did nothing for over 2 months, and then I submitted everything in the last week."
Oh my gosh.
They grinded it out, and they submitted it, and they got their participation A. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I spent 4 hours on one assignment one day writing this paper alone." And they're like, "Yeah, I just did everything in 4 hours, you know? That was like, it's ridiculous." Of course, there's always going to be people that can find a way, but
yeah.
Yeah, it was a little less structured last year for sure, but this year we've got that sort of schedule and we've got those assignments to get in
mm-hmm.
with a certain amount of time, but it's going really well, I think. And
good.
Honestly, I really like it.
Yeah.
Because I like the hybrid schedule too because it was that in-person bit, but this way we've got our entire class.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see people's faces, and that's really special to
yeah.
me, you know. And our classes have just felt so bare. We've got, like, I have like five kids in my environmental science class.
Yeah.
But it just feels good, you know, to log on and see everyone. And even in the earlier morning classes when no one is awake, we're all bedhead, like angry looks. But that's what I miss about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like the people that show up and they're like, I don't want to be here, but you feel the same, and that's what makes it fun, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I really like about the Zoom classes.
Well, good. Well, Miller, we'll wrap it up with that. I appreciate you coming out to the podcast. It is, I think, hours the limit because it is
sure
very cold right now. Yeah. I gotta come up with a better heater. We have a heater, but it's too loud for the microphones.
Oh, so okay, I got you.
I got some at work that I might be able to use.
Oh,
but,
nice.
But yeah, thanks again for coming out. I appreciate absolutely. It. Good luck in everything you do. I'm sure this won't be the last time I talk to you. So
yes, sir. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks again to Miller Zackel for joining me on the podcast today. This episode of the podcast and all episodes of the podcast are brought to you by Real JP Multimedia. For all your audio visual needs, visit realjp.com, realjp.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Oh, Lillian Melcher is in the building. Lil, how you doing?
Good.
Talking to that microphone.
Good.
There you go. So how's your morning been?
Good.
Yeah, what'd you do while I was recording?
Go on the iPad.
That's it?
The whole entire time.
The whole time? Last night we watched Home Alone 3. Did you like that movie?
Yeah.
I fell asleep, but...
No, you
did. Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah, talk to the microphone a little bit.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. Did not see you one bit because I was laying down.
Yeah, and I was in the corner, the best spot of the couch.
I was like this.
Kind of falling asleep?
Yeah.
So we watched Home Alone 1, 2, and 3. Which one has been your favorite, you think?
Guess.
Number 3.
Guess.
Number 3, I guessed.
No, guess again.
2.
No.
The first one was your favorite?
No.
Well, which one's your favorite?
The third.
I said the third to begin.
I thought like the fourth. I thought you. Can you lower it?
That's as low as it goes. So.
You thought what? I said the third.
I thought that we watched 4.
No.
I don't know why I thought that.
Can you tell me a little bit about our elf? We haven't really talked about Lady.
She it's a he or a she, I don't know.
It's a he, but you guys, Mateo named him Lady.
And I'm going to name him Snowflake.
Why? You can't change his name.
I know what I was looking at. Name.
So, what else do you want to talk about? Oh, we got a cool game. Talk about that game. Explain what that game is.
You put on headphones that has like noises, loud noises, annoying noises. and the person's trying to say something and then you're trying to guess it.
Yeah, it's like a lip reading game, right?
Yeah. But sometimes if the person doesn't get it, you have to say it louder.
Yeah. Well, you don't say it louder. You just try to, you move your lip. It seems that you move your lips a lot more. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Lights off. No.
It's all right. We still can see. It happens. That's what happens when you close the garage.
Barely.
Yeah. Well, anything else?
You talk about me now.
What am I supposed to talk about you for?
Ask me questions.
I have been. I just didn't know if you want to talk anymore or not. You still want to talk? Mm-hmm. What did you have for breakfast today?
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, what kind?
Blueberry.
What would are those your favorite flavor or you have?
Yeah, those are my favorite. When I buy like cherry and strawberry and blueberry, I'm like so mad when we ran out of blueberry because I mostly eat the blueberry.
Yeah. Oh, the variety pack.
Yeah, because that's my favorite. I only have one more.
Yeah.
Because I keep eating Pop-Tarts. I ate Pop-Tarts because you had to go to the bathroom.
Wait, why does that, how does that equate to, what does it matter if I had to go to the bathroom or not?
I wanted you to make me potatoes.
Okay, well, it took me like 5 minutes. Oh, Lillian. Christmas is coming up. What are you going to ask Santa for?
Well, I can't ask Santa for walkie-talkies because Nana might have bought me some.
Oh, well, I'm not worried. What are you going to ask Santa for?
Vivian.
No, you. Quit talking about Vivian. You, Lillian.
Like this tall Barbie doll house. Just like Vivian's, but she's giving hers to her cousin.
Oh, a big doll house?
Yeah, like
super, has, super tall?
Like this big. It's yeah. Like this big.
Oh, okay. Have you seen one somewhere?
Vivian's.
Oh, Vivian's. Oh, okay.
Her stuff is outside.
Oh, yeah.
All of her, Miss Aaron cannot park in the garage. That's why she parks outside.
Oh. All right. Well, anything else you want from Santa? Are you going to ask for Santa? Or you don't know? If you don't know, that's okay. We got to write a letter to Santa soon.
Remember when the...
Sit up in that. There you go.
It's off.
That's fine. It doesn't matter. It still
remember
records.
Remember when we wrote a list to Santa in the village?
Yeah.
I want to do that again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they have that thing, but they might have a mailbox to Santa.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, let's go in because it's cold.
I'm not cold.
I'm freezing.
Because you have a sweater on, and under that you have a tank top.
A t-shirt. My toes are cold.
Potato baton.
I didn't know you knew that. All right, well, tell all your fans goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right, good job, big girl.
You always say that right after the end. It all goes in a pattern. That's...